A wonderful sight, is it not? Look down, sweet girl. Gaze upon colour in its most chaotic. Quite the sight indeed. Down there, in that sea of spinning shades and clacking shoes, is every drop of money, privilege and power in the known world. Make no mistake. You look upon high society at its most elegant, its most vibrant, and its most dishonest. Ah, yes. Wide smiles and innocent laughter are all the masks these ladies and gentlemen need. A grand lie in perpetuity. Down there you see lords, ladies, lawmakers and candlestick makers. Those who define civility and those who enforce it. The men who wed to define alliances and the women who trade independence for silks and fine stones. And us above them all. We stand, well, I stand. You kneel on hands and feet as befits your own unique station tonight, above powers beyond comprehension. Doesn't that invigorate the soul? For you in particular, perhaps, in your position of submission, the one you shall learn to find as comfortable and comforting as stood upon your own 2 feet, looking down at those who would sneer and mock and ridicule you, the object of my gaze, my prize, my pet. Savor the moment, dear thing, for being below me in all things, at all times, is the only position of import to you now, as I am sure you are most passionately aware. But, as those wonderfully bright eyes do confess to me, you'd never dream of our situation being any different now, would you? I imagine some down there amongst the cacophony are wondering after my present location. Such is life as a member of this pack of prancing peacocks and giggling songbirds. How the tedium does weigh upon my soul, hence why I choose to spend my time with you, my pet. Why waste my precious time shaking hands and trading dull conversation with dull fellows when I could be tending to a much more interesting and appealing endeavor? Do you favor the dress I chose for you this evening? A sable black, low collar, elegant, and yet revealing in the most seductive of manners, wouldn't you agree? The first of many gifts, garment or otherwise, I assure you. I reward my pets, and do have expectations of you that befit my station. While your position is one far from public light, appearances transcend the crowd. Needless to say, you shan't always find yourself painted and adorned in such a manner, but for tonight I needed you the most marvellously subtle shade of radiant. Subtle indeed. I rather fancied you as something insubstantial tonight, something ethereal. So what better than my very own shadow? In such a starlight ballroom as this, it does benefit the forward-thinking gentleman to bring one not so enslaved to the rays of suns, both celestial and man-made, and thus, this is precisely what you shall be. A shadow. My shadow. Which of course bequeaths unto you a certain inconspicuousness. For who here might believe that a shadow might possibly lurk beneath such a blanket of fire? None. But the one who created you. The one who summoned you. The one who garbed you in the colour of night and keeps you close at heel. Right where you belong, my darling. But back to the dress. While I do fancy myself as a connoisseur of fashion, I do often find myself woefully uneducated in the manner of formal ladies' wear. Though I am quite intimate with my own personal preferences as to the manner in which creatures such as yourself hide their person from my piercing gaze, I found myself in need of outside help as per the matter of finding you a suitable gown for the evening's festivities. Naturally, I could have enlisted the help of legions of seamstresses, boutique owners, and the very ladies you see before you spinning and twirling in their infinite theatrics. The matter of secrecy was first and foremost in my mind. Thus, I pursued the only logical course of action. My wife. Peer down through the bars of the balcony, sweet girl. Can you find her for me? The charming vulpine thing in the emerald green, a fine array of silver at her pretty throat. Do you have her? Wonderful. You see, being such a doting and loving husband as I am, I did make inquiries as to her own dress for the ball. And naturally, being the ever-demanding vixen that she is, she did request something new, something fresh from the ships that bring word of new and exotic fashions from faraway shores. She chose a dress, and I parted ways with my gold. A midnight black thing, quite beautiful. Her taste is nothing if not fine, and with a simple kiss on my cheek, she was as happy as one can be. Look at me, darling. Do you understand? I think you do. Such a clever girl, and not such a difficult puzzle. Yes, dear thing. I had her pick your dress. That emerald thing she does wear with such feigned pride is another I chose after her sudden exit from my presence. Cheaper. Less desirable, though still fetching the merchant who plied his wares a hefty sum. I, of course, feigned ignorance to my mistake, and she soon fell victim to a different form of submission to the brand that you will soon become so intimate with. In this, my wife, as opposed to you, my precious pet, plays second fiddle, so to speak. Does this please you, I wonder? Knowing that for such an occasion I favoured you over her. Would it please you to know that, as in all things, she chose the dress to please my own particulars, as familiar with them as she is? Look again, girl. Look closer now. Do you see the way those dark, lovely eyes flit across the dance floor erratically, composing their own frantic dance in stark opposition to the one her current partner leads her feet through. Who do you suppose she seeks? Why, none other but me. For by now my absence has certainly been noticed. She seeks her loving husband to lead her through a dance that might conjure forth memories of our youth, of brighter times and earlier years where my tastes weren't so refined. She yearns for me, my darling, and yet I choose to be with you. Look closer still, and one might spy the phantom worry she hides so demurely. She fears I might have crept away with some younger thing, some eager thing, craving her position at my side, and in my bed, in my house, under my gaze. She fears you. I wonder then, would she fear the broken thing at my heel, such as you are? Would she see in you a worthy opponent, or a distraction she will soon convince herself I will soon grow tired of? Will she beg to trade the hanging silver at her throat for the iron that encircles yours? Would she, in desperation and terror both, beseech me to cast aside this wretched whore, who waits chained to my wrist in favour of the woman whom, under church and God, I did promise my life to? Might she too fall to her hands and knees and gaze up at me not in the sweet and complacent submission I expect from you, but the desperate, pathetic yearning for constancy I would expect from her, if only to enhance her bargaining? Ladies of high station do so often fall to depths unknown to most to maintain their seat at the table. But no matter. We are well hidden, and our night, our own personal ball, is far from over. This is your initiation into circles previously above you. This is the world you live in now. At the edge, looking in, but not from outside, for you do belong to me now. My world is your world, precious girl. Though you will become accustomed to the mannerisms and ways of court, you shall never emulate. Do you understand? You will observe, learn, enlighten yourself, and better yourself, but take a good, long look, dearest. Gaze down at the swirling maelstrom of colour and joy, and believe me when I say this. This is never a world you will truly be a part of. And in truth, I know you know this well. You knew the particulars of this arrangement from the day you put quill to ink and signed your soul away to me, and I know that you know precisely what you are. You may then wonder why I wish you to learn these things. Why I will, in the coming months, test you, teach you, observe you in practice and punish when your efforts fade to lackluster attempts. The answer is quite simple. It is my most solemn wish that you never forget truly to me what you are. You will never be my wife. Never feel the loving imprisonment of a ring upon your finger or the comfort of my bed and my presence within it. You will never dance the ballrooms of the high and mighty, nor will you feast at the tables of me and mine. You will remain, as ever, my shadow, my pet, my secret, my puppet, and always my love. The object of my truest and darkest desires. For in ball gown and willingness both you are the superior woman in my life, and the only object of my true affection. So, now that you are fully educated on your position, our deliciously fruitful future together, I'd urge you to enjoy the night, as much as I allow. I make no promises that the next venue we find ourselves alone in will be as comfortable, or colourful, or bright. But then, isn't a clash of scenery such a wonderful thing? When we return to the manor, I shall show you to your quarters, sequestered away from the main house, but close enough for my own personal convenience. You will ever and always be at my beck and call, whenever boredom or need overcomes me, and I promise you, my darling, my sweet, precious, precious thing, I have worked hard to find one with your potential, and my need for you and only you is a fierce and wanton thing. Many have fallen before the standards I maintain, and you, I see great, wonderful things in you. I will make you perfect, and you in turn will sustain me, the true, primal, and real me. Enjoy the night, my jewel. Bask in the wonders of high society and your position at my feet. Welcome, my darling. Welcome to the masquerade.